I have a new essay out with Aeon, details in the notes below, asking the question of whether we can reconceive love as a cosmic force, as the underpinning of all reality, as part of the warp and weft of being, as opposed to thinking of love as, I think, is primarily treated now as an emotion or as an ethical imperative, compassion or charity. And I think this question is worth asking, partly for what you might call the negative reasons, that it feels like a materialistic culture that has no place for love beyond being, say, an epiphenomenon of evolutionary processes, becomes uncoupled, unmoored from reality. And so you see the fragmentation and so on that feels increasingly evident in the world around us. I think it's also worth asking because, as a psychotherapist, I feel that when love isn't imagined as part of the world in which we live, the life that we are involved with, then it takes away the possibility of rituals and myths, sense of connection with an underpinning goodness that increases suffering, that leaves people cast adrift, wondering what all that they undergo actually adds up to. I know that it's often said that the prevalence of suffering is precisely the reason to deny or feel there can't be such a thing as divine love. But my sense is, paradoxically, when you take that divine love away, you actually increase the suffering, because although this isn't a neat equation, there is something about suffering which can open us up to connection to others through the vulnerability. And there is discovered this divine love, which is why people throughout history and even now would say that it's in suffering that they paradoxically found God. But there is also a positive set of reasons to ask whether cosmic love needs to become part of our worldview once again, which is what I consider for the most part in the essay. And look at how, for example, our intelligence seems to suggest that there's an imperative which could be called love that runs through our way of engaging with the world. We don't sort through the maelstrom of sense impressions, for example, that come at us like an AI might. We spontaneously detect that which is good, beautiful and true. And so those transcendental qualities draw us through love, sort life for us through a kind of inner compass. Reflecting on that dynamic is one thing I do in the essay. I also look at the new biology, which is coming more and more to the fore now, a kind of next generation that's left behind the old selfish gene approach and sees that life works with a kind of intelligence at all levels, from the cellular up, but also from the ecological down, through the organism, shared by organisms. There's a kind of wisdom that isn't just about an emergence, I think, but is also about a discovery. Evolution, you might say, prepares us for an awareness of a wider life into which evolution evolves. And so we humans, particularly with this particular kind of consciousness, self-aware, reflective consciousness, can realize that evolution prepares us for the discovery of a wider life, a wider context, draws us as much as we are drawn. And I think about that in the essay too. And then finally, there's the sense of why love matters because of what it does to us. I use a bit of Iris Murdoch here and Simone Weil, both of them in their different ways saying that love is necessary for us to become all that we might be. Iris Murdoch talks about love being like a magnetic draw towards the perfection that we desire. Simone Weil talks about how our attention is only well ordered when it's ordered by love, knowing the beauty of the world in one way, but also being able to give ourselves to that attention rather than being in a stance of taking and possessiveness and this dire need to increasingly control all things, which is part and parcel of what seems to be going wrong in the world now. So have a look at the essay. It's the latest of my essays from Aeon. I've done other ones on William Blake, on Dante, on the origins of language, on the nature of religion. And I hope that you enjoy it.